I think quite a few of you came for the first time. Sorry. That's why, you know, there are certain things I'd like to maybe repeat and mention again before we fully get into the outline. Concerning the matter of the inheritance, the scripture shows us there are two aspects of our inheritance that God wants to give us. The first aspects are the outward inheritance. Definitely, it doesn't mean that God is going to make you a millionaire. No, no. I think the Lord will ruin you if you become one. But the Bible did show us there is an outward inheritance that God promised us to inherit. And then there is an inward part, the spiritual part of our inheritance, which is God Himself as Christ to be our inheritance. Before we get into it, you have to realize that this earth is very important for God. Of all of the planets in this universe, you cannot find another planet like this one. At least until now, nobody could find it. Okay, maybe. Who knows, you might be able to find one, but I doubt it. Because according to the whole revelation of the Bible, the earth is very important. God created this earth for a special, wonderful purpose. When the Lord Jesus comes back, this earth is going to be the center of the universe. Of course, the traditional Christianity teaching is that we'll all go to heaven. Well, where do you prefer? To go to heaven or to stay here on this earth? Suppose God would give you a choice, okay? You're going to inherit heaven or you're going to inherit the earth. What do you prefer? He is considering. What do you consider so much? What is there in heaven? Tell me. Have you been there?
Never been there.
So why do you like to be there so much? Wouldn't it be easier if God wants you to inherit the heaven just to create man in the heavens? Why put man on this earth? You tell me. If God's intention is for you to inherit heaven, if I were God, let's make it simple. Let's just create man in the heavens and put him there, and that's it. Isn't it? Wouldn't you do that? Tell me, isn't it true? Or? I believe so. Why did God made man out of the dust of the earth? It's very scientific, because our flesh here, the body, is exactly the same as the earth. You know, the word of God says, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Because Genesis chapter 1, so God made man out of the dust of the earth. He formed man like a vessel. And then he breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul with a spirit within him. And this is very important for us to see, because man is created in a very special way. Right? So, the earth is important. Okay, now let me show you a verse, for example, in the Bible, Matthew chapter 5. We all know Matthew, right? Matthew 5, verse 5. Let's all read it. Okay, you got it? Let's read it together. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the heavens. No? Are you sure? No, did I read it wrongly? What did they say again? They shall inherit the earth. I tell you, this is really wonderful. According to the Bible, John, in 1 John chapter 5, tells us the whole earth lies in the hands of the evil one. Being usurped by the enemy, Satan. That's why this earth is in a big mess. Right? You have war and after war and unrighteousness, so many problems. First World War, Second World War, and now the fighting never stopped. Right? And the Bible tells us Satan is a murderer from the very beginning. And he's the father of lies. Deceiver of this world. And remember, when the Lord was on this earth, he called Satan, he addressed him as the prince of this world. Now you have to ask a question, why did he call him the prince of this world? You think the Lord just gave him that title? No, because the pre-Adamic world, even before God made man, the first world that was made, God gave it to the angelic being to rule. And according to what we mentioned this morning in Ezekiel, chapter 26, and in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan, before he became Satan, was the archangel. He was even called the angel of light, beautiful, wise, close to perfect. But pride took him over, and he wanted to be like God. And he fell and became Satan, God's arch enemies. The archangel became the arch enemies of God. Now, you might ask the question, hey, God could have just destroyed him, right? Very easy. He's God. Just like you destroying an ant. You don't have to use a hammer to destroy an ant, right? What do you do? A thumb? No, you don't even have to use a thumb. Use this. And that's it. God could have easily destroyed the devil. Why didn't he do it? And it says in Revelation chapter 12, this serpent drew one-third of the angelic being to follow him. And they became the evil spirits, the principalities and powers. Why are they called principalities and powers? Because they did have the power and the authority given to them by God. Now, the Bible says and clearly tells us why God did not destroy them, because God chose to use us, the human being, man, to destroy the devil. That's why man is very important in God's economy, in God's plan. And for this reason, the enemy Satan is also very keen on destroying mankind. That's why there is a spiritual warfare going on today. If you don't know it, you don't know it. Right? And so, after man fell, the Lord used a wonderful salvation plan to come and save us, not just to save us and then take us to heaven. That doesn't make sense. That really doesn't make sense. Now if you see this, if you see a bird's eye view of what is happening, then you will understand why God wants you to inherit what? Really? You remember the Lord taught his disciples how to pray? Father, hallowed be thy name. That means your name be glorified. Where? On earth. There's no problem where God is right now in heaven.
The angels are all there. You read Revelation, you can really see they glorify God there. But what about here on this earth? Are they glorifying God? You think they are? Ah, they're not. Thy kingdom come. Your kingdom come? You think God wants to move his kingdom here on this earth? Have you ever thought that God wants to bring his kingdom down to this earth? Well, at least the Lord taught us how to pray, right? Have you ever prayed a Father's prayer? Well, everybody knows the Father's prayer, right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. That means there's no problem up there. But where's the problem? Tell me which country doesn't have problem today. Philippines, no problem? Oh, yeah, you're kidding me, right? USA, no problem? What about Europe? Oh, a big problem in Europe. What about Africa? Even worse, a lot of problems. Tell me which part of this earth has no problem. And you should ask, why is there so much problem? Right? So you have to realize that if you see the whole picture here in the Bible, you will see God's plan, and God's plan must be fulfilled with us. If it is just with God, there's no problem for him to. He could send the myriads of angels and just clean up everything, and that's it. In one day or less than one day, there's no more problem in Manila. How about that? Why didn't he do that? And look at all the Christians. Look at God's people today. What are they doing? Nobody cares for God's purpose. Nobody cares for God's plan. So, what do you want God to do? Right? So, you really need to get into it and realize this. God wants us to inherit what? The earth. And that's why the Lord's Prayer is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And for this very reason, the Lord himself came to this earth the first time. And he promised to come again the second time. And in the first time, he came as a savior to die on the cross. As the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he was like a lamb, quiet, didn't fight, because he made himself ready to be crucified, to bear our sins upon himself on the cross. But hey, in the second time when he comes back, he is going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Quite different. His first coming is to accomplish redemption, but his second coming is to rule over this earth, to take over. How about you? You all want to go to heaven. But the Lord is coming here. What are you going to do there? Today you're down here. He's up there. And then later on, he comes down here. You want to go up there. That is very strange, huh? Right? What are you going to do up there when the King of Kings is down here? We are always doing the opposite. You don't believe the Lord is going to come back? Rule? Come, let's go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Huh? Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Beginning in verse 11. Now, John, he saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and make war. My, he's going to come back as a judge now. And he's going to make war.
His eyes were like a flame of fire. My eyes quite different now. And his head were many crowns on his head. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood because he is ready here to fight. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with what? A rod of iron. Remember the word iron, okay? Don't forget, iron, right? That's why in this land it has iron. Okay, remember iron. With a rod of iron. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the God Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, because the whole army of the world is going to gather there in the valley of Megiddo to war against Christ. And they will all be slaughtered. And the best way to clean them up is to invite all the birds in the whole world there to feast. And in just a couple of days, it'll be cleaned up. The birds are waiting for the feast. Now you know why there are so many crows and vultures and birds everywhere in the world. Why? They're waiting for this feast, this invitation. Then it says, right? Where are we now? Okay, 19, verse 18. That you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. You have to be in that army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with a sword which proceeds out of his mouth, who sat on a horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit, and a chain, a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Yeah, I'll tell you later why, but it's not important right now. Then I saw thrones, and they that sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his marks on their foreheads or on their hands. Now, this is the verse that you need to underline. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now this is when, in this period of time, the Lord is going to bring his kingdom down to this earth. The king himself will be here to rule and reign. And the question is, are you qualified to reign with him? Will you be one of those who will inherit the earth? Or don't you like to inherit the earth? Where do you prefer to be? What do you like to inherit? Heaven? You will be in heaven, but only for a short period of time during the Great Tribulation. Then you will come down with a king and as part of his army, then to rule with him. So where do you want to be? In heaven? Let me read to you Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. In verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God's purpose is to make us kings. You know, you should read this 100 times to get into your heart. What is a king for? Huh? To rule. What are you going to rule? In the heavens? Over the angels? What do you want to rule? Let me give you another verse in Revelation chapter 2. The Lord spoke to the church in Thyatira here and says, here, he, verse 26, he, that means you. You should be this he here. He who believes, no? Ah, he who believes, he who is a good boy. No? What does it say? He who overcomes. That means there's a qualification. And keeps my works once in a while. Until the end. So don't quit, okay? No quitting. Go all the way to the end. No quitting. Huh? To him I will give power over. Wow. Otherwise, tell me, who is going to rule over the Philippines? Who is qualified to clean up this country? To rule over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And they shall be dashed to pieces, the nations, like the potter's vessel. That means anyone who is still rebellious then, you will get your rod of iron and smash them into pieces. How about that? Yeah. At that time, you don't have to hire any more lawyers and all that and twist the law and everything. No, you don't behave. You'll be smashed like a potter. You know, it's very amazing because you are like a potter, a vessel. Human beings are like a vessel of clay. Yeah, the Bible is very consistent. Right? And then let's jump to chapter 3. Of course, in Revelation 19, what we just read is the Lord is going to rule over the nations. Now here in chapter 2, you and I, if we are overcomers, we'll rule with him. And exactly the same with the rod of iron. Now, in chapter 3, at the very end of the church in Laodicea, what the Lord promised them. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my sofa. On what? Who sits on the throne? Only kings. Right? As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right. Now, concerning this matter of ruling over the nations, it has been already prophesied by King David in Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2. Let's read Psalm 2. You see, in this wonderful psalm, David prophesied already what's going to happen, that the nations will be against the Christ, against the Messiah. Why do the nations, the Gentile nations, rage? Why are they so angry? Right? And people plot a vain thing. Well, the people, referring to the Israelites, his own people. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The anointed means Christ. Christ means anointed. Saying, let us break their bonds in pieces, cast away their cords from among us. And he who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He will cause confusion among them. Then he, God, shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. You see, Christ is the king. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection. Now, verse 8 is important. Read it to us, please. Together, okay. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Hey, how about that? Let me ask you, have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, give me the earth for my possession? How about that? Or are you happy with your little house and a roof above your head with a garage? Are you satisfied? No, that's just temporary. You should learn to ask of him. It says, Father, give me the whole earth as my possession, according to your promise. No, you have to take the Lord's promise. Because this not only refers to Christ, but Revelation chapter 2 says this refers to us if we overcome. Right? Now therefore be wise, O king, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord today with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Are you against Christ or do you want to kiss the Son? It's up to you. You know, not just believe in the Son. If you just believe, okay, you believe, but kissing is more than believing. Why would you kiss the Son? Because you love him. You have a loving relationship with him. So it says, kiss the Son. How about that? Right? Lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Wow, this is really wonderful. So
to inherit the earth and even the uttermost part of the earth as your possession. It is part of your inheritance. It's an outward inheritance. If not, then who do you think the Lord is going to give this earth to? To the monkeys? I admit, Greta, the monkeys are very interesting creatures. But God is not going to let them inherit the earth. What are they going to do? Inherit the earth. Who is God going to give this earth to? To the angels? No. It is written in the Bible, the angels are what? Ministering spirits to serve the heirs of salvation. That's us. So, hey, you have to tell the Lord, Lord, praise the Lord. Right? Father, I really praise you. Right. It's your promise to give me the earth. And I'm not going to stop asking. I'm going to remind you again, don't count me out. Well, then the Father will tell you, then keep my works until the end. How about that? Right? So, and the nations are for you to rule over. Really, it's written here. And we just read in Revelation at the very end, the King of Kings is going to come and rule over them. And not by himself, but with us. With those overcomers, okay? Now, let me just quickly go back to Romans chapter 8. What God has promised Abraham. I don't have time to really go through the whole Bible with you, but chapter 4, verse 13, to show you what God has promised Abraham and to his seed. His seed is singular, referring to Christ, and then with us, because we are baptized into Christ, you become one with him, so now you're also a co-heir with Christ, right? Now let's read in verse 13. For, together please, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Amen. Because Abraham believed. That's why Abraham is called the father of faith. And now, what did God promise Abraham? He's going to be heir of heaven? Heir of some crazy planet like Mars? I don't like to inherit Mars. There's nothing there. Do you like to inherit Mars? Venus? Saturn? The moon? You like to inherit the moon? You like to go there? I don't know why the scientists spend so much time and money and everything to try to discover the moon. Okay, I mean, you know, that's their field. But until this very day, I don't think they've discovered too much. You know, Armstrong, right? The first man who went to the moon, right? Armstrong. He was asked by some journalist on his way back. He was interviewed. Armstrong, when you were going to the moon, what were you really worried about when you entered into the moon? You know what Armstrong said? He said, well, the one thing that I really was worried about is that there would be so much dust in the moon, because that's what the scientists were saying, the moon, there would be so much dust for I don't know how many million of years, so that if we land there, we might sink down. To his surprise, when they landed in the moon, it was so solid. And when he was going to put the flag of the United States of America into it, he couldn't do it. Because it was so hard. And when he came back, all the scientists were, they have to change their theory. What do you want to do in the moon? Honeymoon? You got married, and go to the moon. Honeymoon. You will find out there is no honey in the moon then. God promised to Abraham, you will inherit the world. My, this is what God really wants to give us, to inherit the world. Not the world with all the glittering gold and Mercedes-Benz and Porsche and all these things. No, no. Right. But for you to rule over the nations. Yeah? Now, in Hebrews chapter 1, let's take a look at Christ, the unique, wonderful, firstborn Son of God. Since we're talking about inheritance, I might as well share all this to you so that you'll have a picture of what we are going to inherit. Hebrews chapter 1 concerning the Son. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Praise the Lord. Look at this wonderful book with all the prophets. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed, what? Heir of all things, my. It's really wonderful. And we are co-heirs with Christ. All things. Don't you like that? So what's so bad about being a Christian? If you don't like it, that's your problem. I like it. Yeah. Why not? Don't you want to be an heir of all things? You don't want to have a piece of the pie? It's up to you. If you don't want it, that's fine. You can give me your portion, okay? Just remember, you can sign it over to me. Don't forget. Just remember me if you don't want that portion. Sign it over to me, huh? Thank you. Heirs of all things. Who else is qualified except him? Right. So you really need to see this is the outward inheritance that God is going to give us to his children. That's why it's important to be born again, to be the sons of God. Otherwise, you're not qualified. No. This inheritance is just for the children of God. If sons, then heirs. So if you're not a son, then you're not an heir. Right? Who are you going to give everything to? Oh, definitely to your children. Right? So it's not too bad to be sons of God. Oh, he owns the whole universe. So this is the outside inheritance. Right. My, what an inheritance. That's why from the very first page of the Bible, God wants men to have dominion and to rule over all of God's creation. No more. Hey, who else is going to rule over the Philippines, you tell me? Dogs and cats? Can your dogs at home rule Cornerstone? Given 1,000, 10,000 years,
If your dog can really live that long, it will still be a dog, sorry. Ask the genetic people. Unless your dog can somehow extract his own blood and then manipulate the genetic, you know, and then inject it into himself again. I don't think the dog has that capability. Hey, this is the inheritance. But in order to be able to inherit these outward things with Christ, there is an inward qualification, which is the spiritual qualification to inherit. Let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. We read Galatians chapter 3. Now let's read Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. At the end of chapter 3, it talks about if we are Christ's, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. So remember what God promised Abraham, right? But then Paul continued to say, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Right, and then it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, and then he sent forth his Spirit, and we were born again. But my point now is this: in order to inherit all of these things, you need to grow in life. There is another aspect of the inheritance, which is the spiritual aspect. And that spiritual aspect is right here, Christ. Because if we are not mature spiritually, if Christ doesn't grow in you, and if you do not gain Christ and let him change you, even though you're a son, but you're a child, you cannot inherit. Suppose, Frank, all of your children never grew and they are still like babies. How can they inherit? Yeah, they are heirs, yeah. But what are they going to do? They cannot do anything. Right? If you are just 2 years old, suppose you're the son of Bill Gates with a whole corporation of Microsoft. But you're 2 years old. You think Bill Gates is going to give it to you and say, okay, my son, run it. You're going to run it into ruin. You're not going to run it. You're going to ruin it. You cannot rule. You cannot reign. You cannot inherit. Because to inherit requires maturity, requires growth, requires training. That's why you went to school. That's why you graduated from LaSalle College. That's why, if necessary, you need to go on and on and on and learn. And the higher you go, the more qualified you are to rule and to inherit everything. Don't think when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he just inherited doing nothing. No, his whole life on this earth was a life of being one with the Father. Everything he did, his whole life was to do the Father's will and to accomplish a wonderful redemption to save us. Then God raised him up from the dead as a man, not as God.
and then brought this wonderful man, Jesus Christ, to the throne. For God to sit on the throne is not something strange, it's normal, he's God. But for a man, when Jesus came, incarnated as a man, although he was the Son of God, in his humanity, he went through all kinds of trials, and he overcame, and he was victorious, and then he was willing to go to the cross. Then, because he pleased God, he was risen from the dead as the firstborn from among the dead, and God raised him up, and he ascended to the throne. Now there is a man sitting on the throne, but he's the only one. He's waiting for us now, his body, to also mature and to go through the same process so that we today, as his church, will be qualified to rule with him when he comes back. But if we neglect that and we are just loving the world and living the way we want to live and doing our own thing and didn't care for the heavenly things, you care for the earthly things and like to play ball, like to play games, like to watch TV, and like to, I don't know what, go around the world and cruise around the world, and you do all these wonderful things, and when the Lord comes, you're going to rule with him. You think he is a fool or what? It's not going to happen. No. Right? Isn't it logical? This is what the Bible says. He who overcame. And how are you going to overcome? You overcome by laboring today inwardly in your spirit to labor on this wonderful inheritance, because in the other sense, it is written later on, we will see, to the Levites, to the priests, among the Israelites, God told them they should not have any inheritance here because I am their inheritance. Wow. If you inherit this, it's just a little portion. But if you inherit God, you will have this plus, 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 plus everything. You're going to have everything. Hey, how about that? Don't inherit just a few cars. You inherit your dad and your mom, and that's it. Yeah, you inherit them. If they become your inheritance, you inherit everything. Huh? No? God told the Levites and he told Moses they should have no inheritance in the land because I am their inheritance. And now this I is the Lord Jesus Christ now God has given us as our wonderful good land. And you notice that in this good land, every aspect is concerning life. Milk and honey. Yeah, that's very good. Right? And you have all kinds of wonderful wheat and barley. Oh, my goodness. Right? And then you have the vine, the figs, and pomegranates. Well, it's wonderful, right? It makes you healthy. Right? You're a health expert, right? Well, it makes you healthy. Then you have all the wonderful water, the fountain and the brooks, the rivers. The Lord says, he who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Right? And the water that I will give you will become a fountain of water springing up into life eternal. How often do you drink this water? Today, here in the Philippines, I dare not to drink water, just any tap.
Because I'm not used to it, maybe. I don't know. But to drink the heavenly water, I tell you, this is so wonderful. Right. So much in this wonderful land has a spiritual meaning concerning this rich Christ, the Christ that is so rich for us to enjoy. That's why, if you want to know this Christ, you have to read Colossians, because Colossians tells us so many wonderful aspects of this wonderful Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are made full in him, made complete in him. He is the reality of all the shadows in the Old Testament. He's our Sabbath, he's our new moon, he's our feast. He's everything. He is the reality of all the offerings. This is Christ. Right? And in him is hidden all the treasures of the knowledge and wisdom. He is the very mystery of God. Right? And so Paul says, as you have received Christ as your inheritance and lot and portion, so you must walk in him. You must learn to be rooted in him, to be grounded in him. And then most of all, do not be deceived and carried away by philosophy and the elements of this world. Paul warns them because the enemy there is fighting. Such a wonderful Christ as our inheritance. I hope tonight you see something of this wonderful inheritance. I think that's good enough for today. I don't want you to be sitting too long. But beginning tomorrow, let's get into the details of this wonderful good land and then how to labor in this good land. This is very important. Okay? Let's do it tomorrow. Amen. Well, the outline, you can look through it tonight. Oh, this is Rowena's, right? Okay. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord.